Hi everyone, I'm Raven.
I'm Ree.
And this is the Very Eerie,
Extremely Wicked,
and quite spooky podcast. So, if you are tuning in, this is our little sneak peek to our new podcast that we are starting. If you don't know, we already have another podcast called The Bite Podcast with Raven and Ree, where we talk about the most infamous cult of awe, and it's the Twilight cult. We just talk about Twilight, and that's it. So if you're interested in that, go check out that podcast if you want, if you would like. And if not, then just stick around here. Our first episode is going to be on January 18th, where we will be talking about Ree, Take It Away.
So, we are going to be doing our podcast in seasons, and season one is all about cults. So, to pilot our new podcast, we are going to dive into the very perplexing rise and tragic fall of Jim Jones's The People's Temple. Have you ever heard the phrase, don't drink the Kool-Aid? Well, that's where this phrase was coined after 918 people died by drinking cyanide-laced Kool-Aid after Jim Jones, their prophet who they had worshipped and saw him as like the second coming of Jesus, had ordered them to, following he had killed a congressman who was there investigating on behalf of accusations that there was abuse going on. It is a very, very complex case. It's very tragic. It's one of those where you may have saw it coming and could have been prevented, but unfortunately events took place that led to the very sad, which, and it's kind of also said to be, it before 9/11, it was the single-handedly most loss of American human life by a deliberate act.
Yeah, we're going to be diving into, and this podcast is going to be structured a little bit more than our other podcast, where we kind of just go into the facts, and then we will be tying it all in at the end and just giving our own opinions about it, and determining whether it is very eerie, extremely wicked, or quite spooky. Hence the name and the long title that we have. And I think that this is always one of those cases that got me like pretty, like it's like just the pictures of it freak me out. I can't even like, it looks like, I don't know if you've ever seen like, I don't think I've ever seen this either, but it looks like if it was like a whole bunch of dead animals in a field, you know?
Yeah, it was.
And we have a little sneak peek from a cat.
Aww.
This is Nessie. Okay.
Nessie.
Go over there, please.
Hi, Nessie. Yeah, I agree. It's definitely one of those cases where even if you're not like a true crime junkie, you've heard of it just because of like, I think it's definitely like a big thing in our history. Also because of the fact that, you know, a congressman was killed. Like, Jim Jones had ordered a hit, and then just the magnitude of the lives that were lost, and it goes into question, which we're gonna like, you know, determine, was this a mass suicide or mass murder? Because there's a debate on that, because it's like, did Jim Jones really take his people to death into the afterlife together because he loved and cared for them, or was it a selfish act in order to cover his tracks before the terrifying truth came out?
Yeah. And just to give you guys a little insight as to what this first season will be looking like, I have a list here of all of our little episodes. So episode 2 will be about the Manson family. Episode 3 will be about Children of God. Episode 4 will be about the Branch Davidians. And 5 will be about Nexium. I believe I'm saying that right. And episode 6, to tie it all in, we will be talking about Heaven's Gate. So that is season 1. And I don't know if Ree, maybe you want to talk a little bit about what other topics we might be talking about. And because we're not only going to be talking about true crime or anything like that. So if you want to get into that.
Yes. Yeah, so definitely if you think of the title, it's very eerie, extremely wicked, quite spooky. So we're going to not only tie in true crime, but we're also going to talk about conspiracy theories. We're also going to talk about paranormal and extraterrestrial, and like, is Bigfoot really a thing? Could there be life out there that we don't know about? do the birds work for the bourgeoisie? So we're gonna definitely look into. So some of just the topics we're gonna probably discuss in the true crime seasons, we're gonna go into famous cases like Casey Anthony, OJ Simpson, Jodi Arias. We're gonna look at unsolved mysteries like the Black Dahlia and JonBenet Ramsey. We're also gonna talk about maybe some parts, like some series might have parts because the cases are so long and complex, such as the Atlanta child murders that took place in the late 80s. We're gonna do some of the most famous serial killers like Ted Bundy, John Wayne Gacy, Eileen Wuornos, and Richard Ramirez.
Those are cults, have cult like followings now because of how like infamous those cases are, and you know, people are extremely wicked nowadays.
Extremely wicked.
People are, you know, fantasizing about these serial killers. So we'll get into that when we get into those. I think something that I'm pretty excited to start talking about. I know I've always been like really obsessed over the Jodi Arias case, so that's one that I'm really interested in talking about. And also another one that like hurts my soul, like, to the core, is the Chris Watts case.
The Chris Watts case is going to be a very... You're going to see me get heated because it's one of those cases that you just... It's so heart-wrenching.
So heart-wrenching.
So diabolical. Like...
And I can't even... We might have to create a new category from... Besides the very eerie, extremely wicked, and quite spooky, because... I don't even know where to put that in that, because that is like beyond me. And he's so stupid.
He's so stupid. I'm going to just say it. Sometimes, you know, the most diabolical people can be the most stupid. Oh my gosh. And definitely some cases I am going to be excited are Casey Anthony, because that was probably one of the first cases that introduced me to the world of crime and mystery, and I was 8 years old when this all happened, but I was following this case like religiously. I was watching Nancy Grace. And another like mystery I'm gonna be really interested in learning about is the Atlanta child murders, which I don't know if you're familiar with.
I've heard, but I'm not that familiar with it.
So I'll just give like a little sneak peek. So in the late 1970s to early 80s, there was a string of disappearances and murders of African American children, teens, and young adults in Atlanta, and they could not, it was like two to four years that these murders of these African American kids who came from like low poverty areas were going missing, and they found murdered, and it's like, how could all these kids go missing, end up murdered, and they could not find someone? And there's theories of, is the man who they locked up for the murder of two young adults, they kind of like put all the blame on him and closed the cases of all these kids when there's not evidence linking him to any of these kids. So it's like, was he the scapegoat in order to close this horrific string of crimes that happened?
Yeah, and I think another thing that we could probably talk about, it could probably be its own, like, season, is just, like, corrupt or things that, like, cases that never really made sense, or even, like, people who got pinned on for a crime and, you know, there wasn't evidence to say that they committed it at all.
Oh, yeah, wrongful convictions. Like, there's a good percentage of people who are on death row who are wrongfully convicted. And we could definitely do like famous disappearances, and then reveal at the end whether, you know, what happened to them. Cause like there's Jacob Wetterling, there's Johnny Gosch, there's Aten Patz. It's like some of these, like, I know with Jacob Wetterling, we finally found out what happened to him in 2016, which was just heartbreaking, you know, we still don't know what happened to Johnny Gosch and Aten Patz. It's like, where are they? It's been decades.
Yeah, and I think that we could probably even go into a whole season about cases or things that were like made into movies because that's a big thing for people to do now, is to take these kind of stories and kind of turn them into movies or TV shows and market off of them.
Yeah. There's also, I think we definitely, this will tie into both the, probably the quite spooky, very eerie, where it's kind of like a mixture of true crime and paranormal, is the case of Lisa Lamb, where at the I forget what, it, the hotel in LA, when her body was found in a water tank at the hotel. And it's like, those last footage of her, it was just very disturbing. And it's like, what happened?
Yeah, and I think that's another thing that I'm pretty excited, because, I mean, you guys can't see, but I have, like, my altars over here, my candles and all that. I have my zodiac behind me, my evil eye.
Love it.
I'm super into the supernatural and otherworldly type things, and I'm so excited to get into that topic or things like that, because I think that those are going to be some very interesting ones.
Speaking of Zodiac, we definitely can do a whole season on the Zodiac Killer. Like,
an entire.
Who is it?
I think I need to tell this story, and I can tell it again later. I need to. You're going to freak out, and it's going to be the weirdest thing that you've ever heard ever. So, a couple months ago, my husband was working at the airport, and they have a lot of the things at the airport. He was one of the people that would bring in the planes and, like, push them out and up, put the baggage and all that. Well, they have these carts, and they're super heavy to move. You can move it, but it's, like, extremely heavy. My husband tried moving it, hurt his back, right? But even though they tell you, like, not to move it, but he did it, and he hurt himself, right? So he was like, well, this was right when the pandemic started, so there was not a lot of places open. And my one chiropractor that I would go to was close, and I was like, well, we need to find him a chiropractor. His back is really bad. His back is really bad. So let's try to find a chiropractor. So we found one, and there's this gym that is where I live, near where I live. And inside there's a chiropractor, because the person who owns the gym also is a certain, like, a licensed chiropractor. So people who would go to his gym, he would, like, pop their back. Or, like, if they were having problems, he would, like, you know, pop their back or whatever. But he does it, like, not under the table, but he just does it, like, as a side gig, you know? Well, we went, and it was very eerie. It was just, like, a really weird feeling, right? We walk in, the gym is empty because it's COVID, you know? Like, it was in the middle of a pandemic. Like, the beginning of the pandemic, too. We go into, like, right in the back of the room was this, like, door open, and it had, like the chiropractor's name on it. So we're like, okay, like, let's go in there. So we went in there, and it's just this one guy, he's sitting there, and I was like, oh, like, we had an appointment. He was like, okay, cool. And then he was, like, trying to figure out, like, what was wrong with my husband, right? And we were talking, my husband was telling him, like, what had happened, and then we were, like, getting ready to pay, because my husband was going to end up having to do, like, several sessions. And I just want to preface this by, like, normally when you go to a chiropractor's office, especially nowadays, they have, like, updated technology. You know, they kind of have to, like, stay with the times. I really enjoy my chiropractor because it's very up to date. But this one seemed, like, a very old, like old medical posters on the wall, very old equipment, very weird, right? Like, the vibe was just weird. And I was like, okay. And we're, like, getting ready to pay, and I look on his counter, and there's a book. Well, it's like a cover from a book. And it said something about my encounters with the Zodiac Killer. And I looked at the name of the author, and it was the chiropractor's name. Like, my chiropractor. And I was, like, a little curious. So I was like, oh, hey, like, what is this, right? And he wrote a book and claims that he knows who the Zodiac Killer is.
What?
And, yeah, and claims that he was almost killed by the Zodiac Killer, but did not get killed because he went in. So then I stood there, and he was there, and he was going on and on and on about the Zodiac Killer. And me and my husband were kind of, like, freaked out. We were like, what the heck, right?
Yeah.
It turns out that he has, like, an entire YouTube channel where he like sits and talks about this and deciphers what the Zodiac Killer is saying in his notes and like saying he knows who the Zodiac Killer is.
Well, if he knows, why ain't he called the FBI?
Well, see, his thing was, he said that he, when he was young, it's a very vague, I pushed it to the back of my mind because I was a little creeped out, and for a good second, I thought that my chiropractor might have been the Zodiac Killer.
Well, I mean, it's kind of sus.
Right?
That's kind of sus.
Is it not? Like, I was like, what the heck? And dude, I swear, we hadn't even gotten to the part where he was supposed to crack my husband's back. Like, we were standing there for like 45 minutes and he was just telling me about the Zodiac Killer. And he said something about how when he was younger, that the Zodiac Killer was like, probably like a teenager or in his late 20s. And he was like a kid, probably like between 5 and 10. And he was playing with his neighbor, and apparently the Zodiac Killer was related to his neighbor, who was a girl, and he was supposed to go over and play with the neighbor, and that the Zodiac Killer like pinned him up against a tree and almost killed him, but then didn't, because I don't know what happened, but he ended up not, and he escaped the Zodiac Killer apparently. And then he said that over the time that he just like kept up with him, like he just knows who he is. And like they just know, like they, like he was friends with the neighbor who was a girl, and they just kind of knew that he was like gonna kill, like that they almost, he almost killed him, and they never really said anything about it. And then he said that the Zodiac Killer like moved to Mexico, and that's where the Zodiac Killer is. But I'm like, it's the reason why I'm a little suspicious about it is because I live like 20 minutes away from the Mexican border.
Yeah, that's suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, that's very creepy, especially, I mean,
I'm not gonna lie, I thought that I might have, like, I was a little terrified, I thought that I might be murdered, like, might get murdered.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know, that, it doesn't seem... Because I don't even, his claims of saying that the Zodiac Killer was like, you know, a teenager in his late 20s when he started killing, that's not confirmed.
No, like that's when he almost killed him.
That's
how old the Zodiac Killer was when he almost killed him.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to release his name because I don't want people to like search him up, but...
Well, you said that he wrote a book, and... we might find him. I won't say anything. FBI, don't come for me.
Let me see. I'm gonna see if I can find the book. And, oh my gosh, let me see. Okay, I found it. I probably won't put this in I'll put it in the trailer, but we'll see. Hold on. It's called My Dance with the Zodiac Killer. And yeah, that was, it's a little weird. So this is the description of the book. It's a very short description, but the description is My Dance with the Zodiac Killer. I call it a dance because the killer had a split personality. Interacting with him would always be an intricate dance that could be friendly on the one hand and completely deadly on the other. Yeah. So, it's a little weird. So, Okay, this is also what it says. It says, my first book, My Dance with the Zodiac Killer, is a true story about three guys that stalked me all of my life. These three were serial killers. So he claims that the Zodiac Killer wasn't one person. It was three people.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, because there were times where they believed that not all the notes and the stuff led up, that they did feel, I think, the authorities thought that there were more than one, so...
So, this is who he names them. He names who they are. He says it was... They were Frank Morris and the Anglin brothers.
Oh.
And it says, I know you thought they were just bank robbers. After you read my book, you will know the truth. And the four biggest unsolved code case mysteries in the U.S. history will no longer be the mystery. The, I guess he wrote other books, too, about the Alcatraz escape and D.B. Cooper, the Texarkana Phantom Moonlight Murderer.
D.B. Cooper, yeah.
So, and then in his thing he says, I'm the author of this book, and public has stole my solemn promise that every word in this book is true, so help me God. And if you can disprove that, I will give you $50,000. If you can disprove that what he says in this book is a lie.
Oh. Wow.
So. I don't know. It's a little. Oh, and apparently. He has a YouTube channel where he like talks about this. But is it possible that the Zodiac killers could still be alive?
Who knows? We'll have to do our research and find out.
I feel like if they were, they would have killed this guy who wrote this book about them, no?
Yeah.
Unless they read it and they were just like, and like whoever, I mean, if it was one person, whoever is the Zodiac killer, read it and was like, you're off, dude. So he just left him.
Yeah. That
unless he is the Zodiac killer and he's just writing this to lead people away from the truth.
Holy shit.
When did the Zodiac murders, like all those things happen? Like what time frame?
It was like the 60s and 70s. It was a long time ago. It was like 40 years ago. 40 plus. That's why they don't know if the person's even alive, because it's all like you would think they'd be like in their 70s now. I mean, hell, look at the Golden State Killer, which we might also discuss. Who, yeah. You know, it took...
I'm not saying that my chiropractor is 70, but he could be.
Let's hope he doesn't listen to this, and then when you go for have an appointment.
I don't go there. We went a couple, like, I think my husband had set it up for, like, a certain amount of sessions, and I would go wait in the car, and I would tell my husband to make sure that he knew that I was waiting in the car so that he would not get murdered.
Yeah.
By my chiropractor. And, so then I would wait in the car, and my husband would go in, and he would come back out. And he went to a couple one, but then my husband just said that it was just, like, weird, like, so he just stopped going. He stopped going to the sessions. That's not even the chiropractor that I would go to, because my chiropractor was closed at the time. But, thankfully, my chiropractor is open, and...
Yeah.
We can, I don't know.
We'll do our research. We'll look at some theories.
And talk about more about... Whether or not my Zodiac, my chiropractor is the Zodiac killer. But if you want to hear more stories like this and more stories about true crime and mystery and supernatural and extraterrestrial, then stay tuned, because our first episode, like I said, will be on January 18th. And we will see you guys then.
Make sure you follow us on Instagram at Extremely Wicked Podcast. You can also follow us on TikTok at Extremely Wicked Podcast and Twitter at Very Eerie Pod.
Yes. Different name, but it's okay. Go to our Instagram. We'll have the link tree to all the links, and it'll have all the links to all of our social medias. And yeah, that is it for this little trailer. We hope you enjoy, and we hope you stick around.
Yes, we can't wait.
Bye.
Bye.